doubt. And love, when we see it and it's evidenced in front of us, it causes us to follow him and follow him home. Jesus said it this way. I want to touch on a verse in John. We've been taking some time on from our Wednesday night forming class to really focus on John 14 and 15 because there was so much there. And this verse was powerful. I think I got it on the next slide there. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, right? Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. It's the same as this when I was going through James, and we'll be picking up James again in the fourth chapter after the holidays. The focus of our study was faith that works. Remember that? Not only does it work, in other words, it does stuff. It's not broken. It works. Faith works. But it also works, too. We work as Christians. When there's faith, guess what faith does? It works. It serves. It loves. It cares. It sacrifices. Faith works, and faith works. And Jesus was saying the same thing. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. It was the same teaching that James was given. If you love me, you know what's going to happen? You're going to obey my teaching, because that's what people who love me do. They want to, and it changes us. It transforms us. It makes us a people who are able to obey, whereas without him, we could not. We could never be what God wants us to be without him in us. But when we put our faith in him and he enters into us through his Spirit, it changes us. It transforms us. It makes us different people. We become a people that obey. It makes us different than that way. But more than that, it makes us the people who want to obey. You know that? This is what Jesus was saying. Anyone who loves me obeys my teaching. They want to do it. They love to do it. They love to follow my teaching because they know who I am and they know my love for them. That's what Jesus was saying. And then Jesus goes on to say, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So if you love me, it's just normal. You want to obey my teaching. And also, my Father will love you. And we, the Father and the Son, through the Spirit, will come and make our home with them. It's been the Father's desire and plan from the beginning, all the way back to the Garden of Eden when he created us so that we could dwell together. That's how it all started until the sin problem came in, right? We began dwelling with God because he wanted to dwell with us. He wants to come and make his home with us. Home. Home can bring up all different kinds of thoughts and connotations, can't it? There's a lot of different experiences of home, isn't there? Home is where you can be with the ones you love, and the ones you love can be with you. That's what home and its essence is supposed to be, what people want to be together. For some, though, some people's experience has been home is where you hide. Home is where you hide who you really are. Home is where you act one way there and another way in front of everybody else, right? Sometimes, for some people's experience, home is where you live the things that you don't want others to know. And that's not a good experience for people's home. They don't expect expectations of home. Smiles on the outside, hiding, impatience, pettiness, a critical spirit that is always harping, always wanting their way, maybe hiding anger that on the outside, past the front door, nobody knows is there, but inside the front door. It gets ugly. Sometimes homes hide abuse. And so people's experience of home can put a smile on their face or a downcast look on their face. But what home is supposed to be is a place where joy abounds, right? Joy is, I'm glad to be here with you, and I'm glad you're here with me. That's joy in its essence. And home is supposed to be that place where I'm glad we're together. I'm glad this is our home. I'm glad when I come home because I can be with you and you can be with me, and I will treat you and love you as somebody who I love to be with would be treated. That's what God was desiring for us, to make his home with us. So those who love me and love my teaching, I love them, and I'm going to make my home with them. I want to be here together with you. That's, do you see the word usage that Jesus is saying? I want to come and make our home with you, a place where we can be together, loving the gospel together. Being with my Jesus, thinking, I'm with my people who love what I've done for them. They love the cross. They love the Christmas Emmanuel message. They love and are willing to forgive. They say, Jesus, if you can forgive me, then certainly I can forgive others. Those who love me will obey my teaching, right? That's that change that happens in us. When we're home together, we love serving. We just love serving because Jesus loved serving, and he calls me to be a servant. I love to be kind. When I'm home, God's saying, we're going to be together, and we're going to love these things together. Kindness, mercy, gentleness. We're going to love feeding the hungry and serving our neighbors together because, Jesus, I love who you are and what you do and what you've changed me into. You see how that, the home that Jesus wants to have with us is a home where we love the same thing. And we love Jesus, we love his word, and we love serving like he served and loving like he loved. It's a beautiful thing. And for those that have struggled with a home experience that was something completely other than that, there is hope still to find that home that you are designed and created and made for. And I want you to not lose hope. Even if right now your experience of home or what you grew up with as a home life and as kind of made you struggle with relationships, maybe that's where you are now, but as you learn to love Jesus and love his word and love his teaching more, and you begin to live out those simple things of patience, forgiveness, kindness, treasuring people, coming alongside the weak, those that struggle, and being merciful and gracious, God, when you begin loving those things, God will begin to work a change in you and bring you a joy. And it may not change your home like that, but I'll tell you what, it will begin to change you. And as you change, you'll begin to change your surroundings. God has a beautiful way of doing that through simple obedience. Well, Mary was a beautiful picture of loving God as we get to this Christmas story, and God making his home with us. We started off in our verse that Travis and Bree read to us, that God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, and he appeared to Mary and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you, right? So here it is, This is Mary, probably a girl around maybe 15 years old, maybe plus or minus. You can picture yourself there, or a daughter or a friend. And this is a little different than Joseph. We talked about Joseph last week. Joseph, the angel appeared in a dream, right? He was asleep, so he had to wake up and go, was that real? Well, Mary was wide awake. The angel literally appeared. And what did the angels usually have to say when they appeared to somebody? Yeah, fear not. Don't be afraid. Hey, I know I'm freaking you out here, but relax. I'm okay. This is a young girl. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to her. And it says that Mary was greatly troubled in verse 29. I just wonder, what is going on? What kind of a greeting? The Lord is with me. I'm highly favored. That's, wow. The angel said, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. Okay, Mary's probably starting to go, what? And you are to call his name Jesus. Remember what we said Jesus meant last week? It's actually the Greek version of the name Yeshua or Joshua. And it means the Lord saves. So you're going to name him Yeshua. The Lord saves, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Wow, this is starting to get intense, because who's the Most High? That's God. All right. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How'd you like that dropped in your lap? It's like, wow. 15-year-old girl. She was scared. She was troubled. I mean, adulting is scary enough, right? You got to start dealing with adult stuff, and you're trying to figure out life. They're going to get married. They're going to have, she's expecting to get married, have children, and all this stuff that's brand new to her. But now, all of a sudden, she finds out you're going to have a child, and he's going to be the Son of the Most High, and he's going to be the King of all your people. So, but putting it into context. So here's a Jewish girl. You know what the hope for every Jewish mother was? That their son might be the promised one. Their son maybe, or their grandson might be that one that Scripture talked about. Maybe. So part of her is like, oh my, is that me? Am I going to be the mother of the Messiah? And yet terrified as well, because she's just a kid, she's still a teen. And wait a minute, now how is this going to happen? I don't know how quick she was thinking all this through, but we have time to stop and think, well, and she asked, how will this be? I'm not married, I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How is this going to be? Well, the angel answers, pretty simple. The Holy Spirit will come on you. Okay, what does that mean? And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called, if he wasn't clear enough already, the Son of God. Wow. This would freak anybody out, let alone a young girl. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Who is that? Who is that child going to be? John the Baptist, yeah. And she who is said to be unable to conceive, that's Elizabeth, is in her sixth month already. For no word from God will ever fail, the angel said. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? You're a young girl. You've just been told you're going to be the mother of the Son of God. Okay. And not by a husband, not through human interaction, but by the Holy Spirit. Knowing, how many people have been to the place where God's asking you to do something. There's something before you, and you're like, I am so unable to do that. That is so out of my league. God, you cannot be thinking that you have this for me. This is probably Mary. She's like, you've got the wrong gal. It can't be. You can't be thinking of me. This is, I just want to be a wife. I want to have kids. I want to have all this stuff. God says, well, what do you do with that? Well, this is what Mary did. She said and answered, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled. And then the angel left her. She said, all right, let it be done. Let it be done. Wow, I mean, that is really a powerful thing. We really don't know how or when it happened, because this just, the angel told her that it was going to happen. We don't really have a description of how it happened or when it happened or what it was like. We just know that at some point it became reality and the virgin became pregnant. And for Mary, all of a sudden it said, okay, this became very real. So how do you respond to God when he's going to use you to do his miraculous work that you could never do on your own? What's that remind you of? Yeah, grace. God and his love doing for us what we could never do on our own. This was Mary. God poured out his grace in her. And how does she respond? Well, we find out that later on she went to her cousin Elizabeth, who was now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Mary showed up and she called out John the Baptist, the little baby in Elizabeth's womb just leapt for joy. You know why? You know what John's job was going to be when he grew up? He's the forerunner of Christ. He's the one that was going to prepare the way of the coming Messiah. That was what he was created for. He was going to be the one to go before and announce, he's here, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what John said about him. So the baby just leapt in Elizabeth's womb. And go on to the next picture there, Wyatt. This is a nice picture, I thought, of what this might have looked like. You know, can you imagine? You've been thinking about, Mary's been thinking about this for months, that is this really true? She comes in, and Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, who she already knew because the angel told her, the baby leaps in her womb, this is becoming true. It's becoming real. And I just would have to think, at least at that point in time, as these two women come together, they're not alone, they're not having to deal with this by themselves. Can you believe this? This is really happening. Elizabeth's like, 6 months pregnant. Can you believe this? And Mary's like, Son of God, what is going on here? You know, they had to laugh. I mean, I see how when women get together, sometimes they just got to laugh about the hard stuff. Sometimes they just, that laughter that they have together gets them through the hard stuff. And I just picture that. I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful picture. And Mary says this, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Wow, this is her response. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Such a joy she felt in being used by God. You know what I've heard sometimes from people? They don't like the concept that God uses people. What? He uses people? Well, that's not very nice. Why? What's he using people for? It's not good when you use people. I can't believe God is using people. You want him to use you? What kind of a God do you serve that you... This is kind of just a mindset that we're in. But you know, what was Mary's response? You're using me? You would use me? Little me? You God, thank you. My soul glorifies the Lord. I'm rejoicing in God, my Savior, that you would use somebody like me. Do you see the difference? One says, well, who is God that he has the right to use somebody? The other says, he's the Lord. He has every right to use me. In fact, because I love him and I obey his teaching, I love that he wants to come and make his home with me. I love that he wants to use me. I want him to use me. What a difference. It all has to do with whether we've said nope to God or yes to God. It's all the difference in the world. Question: how has God used you? How has God worked through your life? How has God impacted other people through your life? I want you just to close your eyes for about 30 seconds and just think about that. Maybe ask the Lord to point some things out. Think about, how has God been able to use me to be a blessing to others? Take some joy for a moment. And like Mary did, say, thank you for using me. God, that's awesome. Take a moment and just spend some time in joy thinking about that. Was a moment of joy for you. Just thank you, God. Thank you for being with me through that. He's made his home with you in that, in your life. In spite of your brokenness, right? In spite of your imperfections, in spite of your mistakes along the way. He took joy in being at home with you in the midst of using you. So what is he calling you maybe to step out into in the future? How much are you needing to trust God for that? How much are you needing to let go of to say, okay, Lord, I want to be like Mary and say, what does she say? May your word be fulfilled in me, Lord. Let love for him and what he's done through this, the gospel, through the cross, through the Christmas story, we see the love of God. Let it cause you to follow him to whatever he has for you, because he has desire for blessing for you there. He has desire for blessing, whether that's in your marriage, or your home or your church, just saying, Lord, may your word be fulfilled in me. May you do in me what you want to do. Maybe it's in your workplace. What does God want to do? How might he use you to be a blessing? Maybe it's through your friends. Maybe it's how you use your time and your energy, your money, your dreams. God, let love cause you to follow him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up as we close in a song called 10,000 Reasons. 10,000 reasons for my heart to just bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless his holy name. That's what it kind of quotes what Mary was saying. And so as we sing, what I'd like you to do, whether it is as you think about how God has used you in the past or how God may want to use you in the future, take a moment to say, Lord, help me be like Mary. Help me be willing to say, Lord, not my will. Whatever you want to do, may your word be fulfilled in me. And sing that song to him and allow him to take you to that place of joy where God wants to do great and good things through you. Let's stand together as we worship.